Earplay is produced by National Public Radio and WHA under grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. Earplay presents Hot Dogs and Soda Pop by Thomas Babe. Thomas Babe is one of the dynamic new voices in the American theater. The New York Shakespeare Festival Public Theater has produced many of his plays, including Kid Champion, Rebel Women, and Taken in Marriage. His play, A Prayer for My Daughter, was produced at the O'Neill Playwrights Conference in 1977 and was published as a best play of 1977-78. Earplay commissioned him to write an original play for radio, Hot Dogs and Soda Pop by Thomas Babe.
Frank, he just gets stronger and stronger. Here's the wine. He pumps. Delivers. Holy hammer! I don't believe it. And I don't think Jackson does either. He's just standing there at the plate shaking his head. I didn't even see that pitch. The fans are pouring onto the field.
Boy, you better believe they're happy.
I'm in the mood.
Yeah. So, folks, that's the official season. On the last day, the fabulous Tucson Tempo, so beset with trouble, have tied the Angels and forced a playoff, as we told you, day after tomorrow here at the Tempo Oval for the championship of the American League West.
And just to remind you, the geriatric phenom, Chance O'Brien, notched number 19 of the season, and the little rookie sensation, Willie D'Angelina, whose father lies critically ill in a Bayside Queens hospital, belted two big homers and helped give O'Brien his win.
And let's remind the baseball junkies out there that this messy, troubled, inconsistent little band of ballplayers just pulled off a miracle. But we can't even tell you why a team like the Temples, who twice in the game got into fights in their own dugout, could pull together like that. Let's remind the horsehide at it.
Let's not remind them of anything. We're running out of time. And so, from the Tempest Oval in Tucson, for Frank Parnell, Dick Gorman, and myself, Larry Chubb, a good day.
Oh, blue cheese.
Hey, what's this?
Hey, Willie, what are you doing there lying on the floor?
I'm sleeping, man. This is my room. You pushed me out of bed.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Right. Was I drunk?
Yeah, you don't drink, remember?
Yeah, what was I?
Sad, lonely, the usual.
What time is it?
11.
Oh. Ooh. Hey, we better get going, kid.
No. Hey, relax. It is a night game.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I never remember to remember.
Yeah, it's a night game. So I am going back to sleep if I can get back into my bed. So shut up.
Yeah, sure, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think I can hit a home run, Willie? I never hit a home run.
Will you, a pitcher with 20-game seasons? Who cares?
20 years in the major leagues, I never hit a home run. And you hit what, 20, 30 a season?
42 this year.
Yeah, and you're a teeny tiny shortstop. Hell, you don't weigh as much as my dog. You're supposed to have a 250 average, if you're lucky, lifetime. How'd you get so strong?
378 isn't as hot as I'm gonna be. This is my first season in the major leagues, so shut up. Go to sleep.
I know you reflect on these things well.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Do you think for your arm every time you throw?
Are you kidding?
See, I always wanted to be a pitcher, Chance. Yeah, that was it with me. That's why I liked you right off. But I ratiocinated every pitch. I'm thinking, this is going to be my slider. And it was a breaking ball. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be my breaking curve. It doesn't break. Mm-hmm. It hangs. And some tootsie roll who couldn't hit a basketball parks my pitch outside the fence in left center. So I became a shortstop. I learned how to hit. Because I do, oh boy, do I love baseball.
Pitching ain't a piece of Betty Crocker.
Uh-huh. It works out. See, most thoughtful people are shortstops. Some thoughtful intellectuals are good pitchers, like Seaver or Kuzman. Now, you, Chance, you're not just good, you're great, but, you know, you're dumb as a fried banana.
I do it by instinct. I don't think about what I don't think about.
Do you think about what you do? I mean, really. Great. Ayatollah Boots.
Where are my pants?
Behind the TV.
You open up, D'Angelina. Everybody in that room is suspended and fined $500 and sent down to Tidewater as of now for the remainder of the season. You got that?
Boots, the season ended day before yesterday.
I know O'Brien's in there. I've been making bet checks.
Uh-oh.
O'Brien, you hear that?
What's happening, Boots? It's a night game, right? I need my sleep.
Lefty knows what you guys are up to. He saw the two of you sneaking through the lobby last night at 2 a.m.
You're making my ears hurt, Boots.
Okay. Okay. I could bench the both of you. I could do that. Any manager would. But I'm going to do something worse. I'm going to pitch O'Brien tonight. How's that, O'Brien? I'm going to pitch you on 2 days' rest, and I hope your arm falls off. Okay? Okay? I'm going to get some toasted orange juice.
Willie, I want to go home.
Me too, Chance. My dad's heart is shot to petunias. He's back in intensive care again. We win this game and make the series, he'll die on me from the pressure. Oh, man, he hates the Dodgers for leaving New York.
If we make the series, my wife's going to miscarry again. Jesus, kid, she miscarried when I pitched that no-hitter 2 years ago.
Mm.
I even poured maple syrup into the TV so she couldn't watch, so she went next door and watched.
Mm. You think Boots will really start you?
Sure, he hates my guts. He thinks I've been a bad influence on you.
Oh, you got that wrong. Boots told Lefty that I had showed you the ways of the youth culture, whatever that is.
Well, while you're young, he's got to hold on to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you drop a couple ground balls, he'll just find you. Me? I gotta wonder.
What's left in the arm, you mean?
Yeah. And, I don't know. Not much.
So? Get sick?
No. See, Willie, I got a notion.
Get sick, Chance. Develop a stomach virus. Save your arm.
No, see, look, my notion is... Here, hand me that sock, will you?
Yeah, okay.
Look, my notion is I got to throw a great one. A 27-up and 27-down game, and I'll take it all on ground balls, forget the K's, bang, 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 no hits, no damn runs.
But you can't do that anymore.
You think?
Here. The sock is a little, moldy.
Well, if I can't do that anymore, play my own kind of game, then I'm not going to live forever. The season I can't win 20 games, I'll know that I'm not going to live forever.
You're not going to anyway, so what's
the... Well, maybe,
the
but the season I can't put another 20 in the book, I don't care how, that's the season I can't be your friend.
Yeah?
You bet. That's like my papal dispensation. I get my dispensation to know you, how I know you, because I throw good. Now, when that goes to...
Dumb as a fry banana.
Hey, look, Willie. You seem a little down in the mouth.
I hate to break the news to you so late in the game, but Chance, we're all somebody's sons.
I know that.
Or somebody's uncles, or somebody's friends, or somebody's lovers, or somebody's husbands.
I know
or
that,
somebody's...
too.
All right, no, you don't. Because we are also somebody's heroes. A lot of somebody's. And that is the thing that just doesn't last. Everything else does.
Well, I ain't no hero to me.
You aren't even a hero to me. You never were.
Boy, that's a tough thing to say.
No, that's the nicest compliment I could give you.
Anyway, I'm going to start tonight.
Don't.
Look, I'm going to.
to show you that I'm not like everybody else. I'm a great pitcher, Willie. And you know more about me than anybody's ever known. And I'm not a hero to you.
I didn't mean you weren't great.
But I am great. I'm a great pitcher, one of the best of all time. And if I can make them shake their heads when I blow smoke, if I can make them pop it up or ground into the DP, then I can do anything else I want. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, listen, I don't think you should have any burnout 40-year-old men for friends. So, I'm going to pitch us into the series.
Don't talk to me.
Look, I'm going to pitch...
Now you listen, Willie. You know, I'm going to kill you someday because you don't listen to what I say.
I listen, all right, but lots of what you say is garbage. Batter-coated, deep-fried garbage.
Hand me my son.
Okay, Frank Parnell, we're back. And as the Tempos and the Angels take their warm-ups, let's just say for those who aren't jamming the Oval tonight in this sellout crowd of 55,000 real fans, it's a great night for baseball.
Thank you, Larry Chubb, and it's always a great evening for baseball, isn't it?
It sure is, Frank Parnell.
I mean, Larry, did you ever hear anybody say this is a cat's barf evening for baseball?
Well, yes. Holy Hannah, Frank, we've just gotten the lineup cards from downstairs, and it looks like Tempo manager Boots Mertens has decided to start Chance O'Brien on a scant 2 days' rest.
Wow, he must really be running some kind of a zoo or Wild West show down there.
Our associate producer, Melanie DeWine. Hi, Mel. Has just told me that Dick Gorman, our roving man in the stands, has managed to sneak into the Tempo locker room. Dick? Hello, Dick? Can you hear me? Dick?
Right, this is Dick Gorman in the locker pad of the Tempest-Tossed Tempos, where it's just been announced that Chance O'Brien will be starting this crucial two-hour dive game tonight. Boy, you can see the anxiety on the faces here. Consternation. The Wonder Boys of baseball suffering most of the season from the Four Horsemen.
How you doing, Dick?
Big bucks, lazy play, dead bats, and bubbled horse-eyed. And now, a shot at the series. I've managed to corner at my elbow the grand old man and prehistoric cornerstone of the Tempo Mound staff, tonight's surprise starter, Edward Elwood Chance O'Brien. How about this, Chance?
We're okay, you know, when things break for us.
And the feeble 40-year-old arm, is it made of steel?
I don't know, Richard. To be honest, some mornings I think maybe it died.
Died, Chance Man?
Hey, you guys, here come the judge.
I see, here's the colorful maestro of the Tempo's Tempe, Boots Mertens. And I think, Larry, Frank, the old boy's really steamed.
O'Brien? You stupid, moronic, ungrateful, mother-chopping glasses!
Hey, now, Boots, don't shove me, okay? I don't want to get mad.
Crazy? Well, I do. I want to get hopping mad. If I had my way, you ignorant has-been, rat-sniffing knuckleballhead, I'd down and kill you right here and now. Okay? I know.
Now, you treat me with some respect here. Or we can go to your office if you have complaints.
Larry, Frank, I don't know if you're getting this, but...
Bum! What the cesspool are you doing in here? You know my rule about panty waist whiners and media cripples in the game?
How would you define your quarrel with O'Brien here, Boots?
You get out of here, or I'm going to shove that thing down your lily-livered gizzard.
Hey, Boots, this is my feed. You need to keep up, listening to you sound like a psychotic bully you are. Hey,
Boots! You and Franklin, blow this fruitcake out the door. Okay. Brian, I'm sorry I uncorked there, but I guess you and me know what this is all about, and we'll keep it that way. I'm just a man, a human person, man, and I don't give a burn Frankfurt about if I'm judged to be guilty of being a bully or some harmless, sassafras-kissing old Santa Claus. But you don't do again what you done last night, and I know two other nights too numerous to mention. Live out your miserable last days in the major league in a warm glow of public adulation. You got me?
I think you hurt the arm belting me into the locker there.
Tough patoots! There ain't a man here who wouldn't rip the arm off if they knew what some of the people in this room been up to with each other.
Am I going tonight?
Does the Pope detest Polish jokes?
My arm hurts. Glimsky can go.
Glimsky came up with a bone. Do you read the papers when you fall out of bed in the morning? And I ain't wasting Kelly because he's my wonder kind and he's got several prosperous seasons ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you to let me start anyway.
You got nothing to say.
I was going to ask anyway because I got something to prove.
Not to me, you don't.
I wouldn't try to prove to you you had a limp doodle, Boots, when the whole world had backed me up.
Jeez, I hate husbands like you, O'Brien. They wait around and wait around for somebody else to tell them they ain't good enough anymore, and then they quit and write their damn sniveling books.
Or manage ball clubs, right, boss?
You think that's funny, Angelina, huh? Uh-huh. Like you don't know whose door I was knocking up this morning. You got the same warning I just gave Mr. Hasbin O'Brien here.
He's won 19 games, boss. How come I didn't get the same treatment? How come you didn't throw me into a locker?
Yeah. Because you are hitting 378, Willie, and 378 hitters, whatever they've done, they don't get thrown into no locker.
Yeah. That's funny, too, Lefty.
Thank you.
I don't play favorites.
Yeah, well, then what's going on, Boots?
Nothing you can talk to your mother about, Franklin.
Wait a minute, you caught Chance and Willie doing a no-no?
Hey, do we care if they were up past bedtime, huh? No,
hey, Chance, were you and Willie toking on an illegal weed?
Whoa. Huh? Oh, heck, Boots. You didn't bust Willie's supply of little green wonder pills he gets from his friend in Boston. Hey, I can't play any ball whatsoever without a greenie.
For the record, right, boys, right. Nobody smokes marijuanas or takes pressure up pills.
Nobody
screws around with stewardesses.
What's a stewardess?
You boys don't know what a baseball Annie is. None of you drink Texas. You don't give candy to kids at playgrounds or use the binoculars that are supposed to be used to steal signals from the other team for looking up girls' skirts.
Hey,
nobody here even touched himself. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't do any of those things. For the record, and also off the record.
We surely know that, Daddy.
That's $50, D'Angelina.
Uh-oh.
Want to make it 100?
No, because I can't imagine why you would want to touch yourself anyway.
Whoa!
Okay.
That thing you...
That's 100, D'Angelina. Lefty,
yeah?
Make a note.
Got you.
Now, you better all listen. As far as I'm concerned, none of you's got a personal life. None whatsoever. You don't even go to the bathroom. And the few times this summer that you felt you had to and couldn't control yourself, then nobody knows you went to the bathroom. Not the writers, not your buddies, not even your wives. You're perfect because God designated you perfect. Because he made you baseball players of a major league variety. And he gave you the light to stand in and bathe in. Until he takes you out of the light, and then you can do whatever you and him want to do, including getting bald and fat, which all of you will, and wealthy also, if you put some of the bonuses in conservative stock and real estate. But you're not real people, got me? So you haven't got a leg to stand on when you do things real people do, like getting horny-faced, stupid, overly tasty, perverted, or take some mop like Jane Fonda serious. You're just meat, boys. That's the message in all its youthful prime.
I take it, Daddy, that's going to help us murder the angels.
I'm not here to demoralize, just to straighten.
Hey, this sounds like he wants to censor. I mean, take the blue pencil to my baddest fantasies.
You don't have fantasies, Franklin. Nothing you couldn't tell your mother.
Boss, do you think that maybe...
Right, Lefty. Boss, I'm sorry. I don't come in for the big game and give you the pep talk. You know me by now. And tell you that you got to win this one for the Gipper. Well, we all know the Gipper is a senile piece of asphalt. You play like you know how to play against your own pride. And if you lose, well, suffer the whole relish of suffering that comes from not being good enough. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, we got it.
You going to do as good as you can, Boots?
Willie, how come if I manage so good, you guys play so dumb?
Okay. So how come you're pitching that old bum, O'Brien, on 2 days' rest when his arm is made of punky wood anyway? How can we play back of an unrested has-been?
Yeah, I'm going to start, Willie. I'm not a has-been.
Well, he says you are, Chance. The manager, you're working for him.
I didn't mean to say has-been. Like, it fell out of my mouth. O'Brien is the best.
I ain't pitching for him, Willie. You know that. I'm pitching for you, and I told you that.
What about the other eight guys? And frankly, Chance, I don't need you pitching for me. I need you pitching for the Tempos next season, right? And you go out today, your arm's going to end up in a museum like an archaeological artifact.
Look, I don't think you should say that, considering the fact that I'm pitching.
A has-been should save his has-dones for future maybe-dids.
You know, maybe I think I will kill you now, Willie. You cross the line. You don't listen to me!
Boys, listen. All right. Let me hang an apology. I'm sorry, O'Brien. Chance. Okay? Willie? Okay? I'm pitching your friend here because I ain't got nothing else to put up there. I wouldn't pitch the Chance if I didn't think he's 40 and he's lived this long on his own.
Ah, Boots, you want to kill him.
Yeah, I want to kill him, but not today. Martinez, Gooch, Willie, Deke, Stenwagen, Franklin, Catlin.
Coughlin.
I can never remember. Even little Freddy off the bench when Super Jerk Angelina gets his monthlies. All you guys, you're mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, is that it? Because I love these pep talks you never give but always do. But I never understand them, Boots. And I like to meditate before the game.
Okay. This ain't a pep talk.
Give me a weed, Lefty.
Okay, I do smoke. But you hit and feel. Give me a light, Lefty. Let me say one thing and that's all.
Oh, yeah.
Some people come to a baseball game because they think a baseball game contains nothing but baseball, which is accurate. Mm-hmm. There are some other people, they come to a baseball game because they think a baseball game is not just a baseball game for 550 and 50 for a scorecard, but it's a thing.
Like a metaphor.
A lot like that. And I come to a baseball game from the former rather than the latter standpoint because I don't think of my father, which died, when I look at the greens, or my mother, which didn't like me, or the... What, Lefty?
Yeah, I got it right here. The strenuous and not quite unheroic effort to transcend the practical and timely limits of man's endeavor for the loftier heights of gratuitous, startling performance. That was in the Times.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. None of that strain and hero stuff. This is just baseball. This place is not a semaphore or a flap doodle of any kind. When you do it well, like I full expect you to hog the pee tonight, you don't get more famous or more lovely on earth. That's all. I'm sorry I shoved you, Chance.
My arm's dying, Boots. You know that.
Ah, it ain't even the difference.
You know, it don't matter. I got to start anyway.
Let's take the field, boys.
Yo.
All right. Chance, if the arm dies, I'll yank you double quick pronto.
Sure.
Okay, as we watch the old man, Chance O'Brien, take his warm-up pitches, you can't help but think, Larry Chubb, here's all these guys on the Tempos who never talk to each other normally, Googe and Coughlin and Angelina and O'Brien and whoever, and I don't even know if they talk. Oh, but our lovely assistant producer, Melanie DeKline, has just arrived with some more grapefruit juice.
Well, Frank Parnell, the word around the league all this season was the Tempos didn't have the stuff. They were too young, too inexperienced, and they wouldn't have the depth or maturity to make it through the stretch. They did.
Okay, well, these are troubled men, Larry. As the first batter, Al Williams, the shortstop, stands in to face the old iron-arm Chance O'Brien.
This is Dick Gorman, and I'm planting myself, excuse me, sir, next to Mrs. Nancy O'Brien, a heroine among the player wives here today. Mrs. Chance, I guess you'd call her. I want to ask you, Nancy, How does it feel to know everything is riding on your husband's shoulder? I mean, he had control problems in the first inning, but he got out. Thank you, Nancy.
I felt Chance was doing wonderfully. His fastball wasn't tailing, but he's able to draw on several other pitches, which he knows he can to confuse the batter.
I see.
You know, I thought the Angel hitters were a little off balance because they expected him to be tired.
Yes.
So it's basically a matter of what his strategy will be.
I see. But what do you think of all this?
Yeah, well, Dick, Chance told me about a player in this league who has his uniforms tailored to fit his body.
Really?
He sneaks the uniforms out at night, Chance told me. By tightening the pants along the thigh and the groin, this player told Chance, he adds 20 points to his batting average, even if he strikes out four times a game.
You mean he looks good, and so he looks like he made a hit.
No, he just looks like he made a hit.
So, we'll pause now, Nancy, for station identification. This is the Tucson Temple Network.
This is KKEL Radio.
Is this all the grapefruit juice we got?
Mmm.
Baseball is an orderly art form of high grace.
Boots, what is this, man?
Nothing, Franklin.
Hey, Boots, don't give me nothing, man. It's the bottom of the fourth and you're pulling me out?
Uh-huh.
You ain't got any other left-handed hitters who can hit that guy, Richter.
Yeah? Well, I'm thinking. We need runs. Give me two more innings and I'll come up with an idea.
But you're pulling me.
Look, Lefty was in the lobby last night. It was 2:30 when you rolled up and you had a chippy on your arm.
So? Me and Willie are the only guys you got who can hit that turkey out there.
So? I'm fighting. So? I'm pulling you out.
Hey, this ain't a Boy Scout troop, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. And an arm. And you want to goof around? It's going to cost you. In your pride. Where it hurts. That's where.
You don't want to win this game, right?
Boy, do I want to win this game. With people I can trust, Franklin. My way. You don't make it, so go fry yourself.
Go
through, but it looks like it's hanging, because then it'll drop.
Unless it really is hanging, Boo.
Yeah, well, then you hit the dingleberry.
Yeah, he just hit it though.
But he didn't know it would hang.
But he did.
Stow it! Klinger, you bat for my amorous friend here, Franklin.
Okay. Well, we got two away in the top of the fifth, but the sacks are still jammed, and O'Brien looks tired out there.
It's no wonder, Frank.
Well, he just can't seem to find the old rhythm that keeps him going in situations like this. And with the bullpen warm, you got to take it under consideration. Will the Boots machine keep him in? Well, it looks like I was right. Mertens is on his way to the mound for a contest.
I noticed Boots stubbed his butt before he left the dugout.
And home plate arbiter Hal Greffney is going out to break it up. But you notice, though, Boots didn't leave his pint of bourbon in the dugout, sticking out of his back pocket.
Oh, that's the old man's wallet, Shirley.
Nobody ever called his wallet Shirley. That's a flagon of sipping whiskey.
I guess the old Bootsters won't be happy when the joke gets back to him about the bourbon.
What joke? O'Brien wines and delivers. Call strike one.
You know what's funny, Frank Cornell, is the stories you see so much these days, and in books, about the way ball players are great boozers, like the immortal Bambino, and pill takers, and chase a strut.
What's so funny about that?
Well,
what do you say? O'Brien nicked the corner and strike two, 0-2 on Grabowski.
Because basically, baseball players are like everybody else.
You think so, Larry Chubb?
Well,
how many guys do you know who put on stupid suits, like those suits out there, half the year and play kids' games? What do you say? I don't believe it. O'Brien popped the curve and Grabowski, so mad he doesn't believe it, throws his helmet in the dust. Quick strikes and a chance has worked himself out of a jam. And after 5.5 at the Temple Oval, everything is coming up. Goose eggs, angels, and tempos. Zip, zip.
Hey, Willie.
You mind if I ask you something?
How come Boots took you out of the game, Franklin?
Oh, he's mad at me.
What'd you do?
I tried to be an adult male.
How can you? You're black.
So I decided to be a kid again. And I put a big chunk of dog poop in Boots' sport jacket.
Oh, no. That's more like it.
Hey, but what I wanted to inquire of you...
Don't inquire, okay? Just...
Okay, I won't. But how come you don't go down there to the other end of this here dugout and sit next to our boss, Pitcher O'Brien, and give Mr. Chance Man a few words of encouragement, as long as I didn't inquire? Mm-hmm. You guys, you just sit next to each other and do numbers.
He's pitching his game pretty well.
But he's your friend, right?
So are you, Frankie, and I don't have to hold your hand.
Hey, look, baby, I'm not talking to you because we met by accident. I'm a baseball player, same as you. That's how we got to know each other last spring. That's how I got out of the category of being a Negro and into the other category of being a black athlete. So you don't have to take me seriously. But your friend down there is dying inside. Or do I smell funny?
Yeah, you smell funny, like a cow. Like a third baseman's meat.
Hey, why not talk to him?
Oh, because Mr. O'Brien... That old pop bottle is a hero to me. Don't tell him I told you. And I can't stand it that he's killing himself.
D'Angelina? Mm. I don't know if you know we're playing baseball here, and you're supposed to be on the on-deck, sir. But since the native bearers with the seat and chairs have disappeared, and cause we're in desperate trouble, and the jungle has suddenly grown silent... You might have to walk out there on your own locomotive power.
I think he means you're up next, after Goose.
Oh.
Number 4, shortstop, Willie DeAngelis.
I don't know if little Willie got the bunt sign with Goose at first and only one out, but one run could mean a lot here.
Willie won't like the bunt sign. He likes to swing.
He doesn't seem happy, whatever he's being told, and... Now, if he wants to walk down the line and talk to lefty. Wait a minute. He just turned.
Hold it. Oh, the pitcher, Chance O'Brien, got up in the dugout, steps and shouted something to Willie. Yeah. And now Willie stopped and looks toward the dugout.
What do you say? Just stuck his tongue out
at O'Brien. Oh, boy. Oh, umpire Hal Grebney's motioning Willie back to the plate. And Willie's already squaring for the bunt. Hold
he
it.
He just shouted something back to the dugout. And O'Brien is up on the steps again and is shouting back at Willie. And now they pull back into the dugout.
Oh, dear. Well, Willie's at the plate set to bunt.
Oh, what a ball club.
All right, Richter's in his motion, sets and fires. It's going to drop back in the center field bleachers. A towering two-run home run for Willie D'Angelo. Little Willie, and he does his home run trotter out of bases with that grin on his face. He's shaking his fist at the tempo's dugout.
No, the bunt sign was on or off, Frank
Parnell,
to you.
Oh, who cares, Larry Jobb?
Dick Gorman. I'm here in the stadium again in the ringside box seat occupied by Mrs. Nancy O'Brien. Now, Mrs. O'Brien.
That was some hit, wasn't it, Dick?
Well, now, Nancy, if I may, your husband has a two-run cushion to work against.
Yeah.
Hey, that must be some relief for you. I know you're expecting, and once before.
Oh, I didn't lose the baby then because Chance pitched a no-hitter. He just likes to think that. It was an accident.
Well, how do you feel now with a possible World Series ahead?
You know, Dick, when Chance went to sign this year with the Tempos, after every other major league team had given him up as a dead duck, the owner of the Tempos, Mr. Gibbonwalter, says, "Sure, son, we want you." And he gave Chance a blank contract.
No kidding.
Yeah, he said, "Mr. O'Brien, you fill in the amount you think you're worth." And so Chance says to me, "Honey, I don't know what figure to put down. I like to play the game so much, I think I'll put down 50,000. That's plenty."
It sure is.
And I told him, "Honey, that's old-time baseball. Give me that contract." So I wrote in $250,000. Mr. Gibbonwalter told me later he thought he got off cheap. Some people, right, Dick?
That was Nancy O'Brien, wife of the Tempo's ace rifleman, Chance O'Brien.
No, it's just Dick. He should make what the young guys, the new athletic professionals, make to keep his dignity.
Thank you, Nancy. Now back to you, Larry and Frank.
So here we are. ankle deep in a great baseball game. Top of the ninth, two out, but two big ones across, and the score is tied. Angels two and the Tempos two. And the great Chance O'Brien in what may be the swan song. The
swan dip.
A great career. Bases Tim Kelly, and the bases are loaded.
Well, the sacks are jammed.
Runners at every corner.
Is there any orange juice?
And I guess this is it for O'Brien, as manager Boots Merton signals to the bullpen for his left-hander. 8 2/3 innings of fairly flawless pitch.
Oh, what do you say? O'Brien is waving Merton's back to the dugout.
And Merton's is still coming. They're shouting at each other. Merton's on the first baseline, O'Brien on the mound. And O'Brien just kicked him out and made a gesture at Merton's.
Dirty word with his finger.
I can't tell what's going on, but O'Brien is running towards second with the baseball. And it seems as though he's not going to give Merton's the baseball.
Oh,
this
God.
Is one for the books. I think the books might kind of say that as long as the pitcher is holding the baseball, he's in command of the game.
Right. And look, he's not going to give the ball to Boots. Who's stalking him all over the field?
Wait, D'Angelina just said something to Gooch. And now Boots is going over to D'Angelina.
Oh, what do you say? Little Willie just punched Boots Mertens in the foot.
Holy
and the old man's shaking up. And, he's getting up.
Meanwhile, Chance O'Brien still has the baseball. And he's climbed up on the shoulders of the Tempo right fielder, Charlie Sternhagen.
God.
And Sternhagen is carrying O'Brien toward the bleachers. And out there, they're waving a banner saying, our chance is the last chance.
Oh, what do you say? Mertens just tried to lay a haymaker on D'Angelina. Oh, he was raising his hand. I think that. Angelina was hurt by that deflected blow. He hit him on the face. Oh, what do you say? Both benches have emptied. Even the guys who like each other are out there trading fisticuffs.
This really is something for the record book.
Wait. There's got to be some more grapefruit juice.
A couple of fans have picked up O'Brien. He's out of Sternhagen's grasp and are carrying him through the stands up
dear.
There.
Let's pause and hurry up here for station ID. This is the Tucson Tempo Network.
This is KKEL, the time, 10 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock, and I know where my kids are. They're at a ball game. Hi, I'm Chance O'Brien, and baseball has been real good to me, which is why I'm taking this time now to tell you that every year, millions of people go through the turnstiles or simply switch on a television or radio and follow organized baseball. Win, lose, or draw, can you think of a better place for you or your kids to be?
The proceeding was paid for by organized baseball.
Oh, God. I don't have to see you move like that.
I didn't know whether I could take it more.
No more. Goodness.
Okay, we're back at the Temple Oval, and the brouhaha seems to be over. Mertens has been ejected. Little Willie D'Angelina has been taken out with an eye injury. We'll have more about that before his game goes on.
Hal Gregory, the home plate umpire, has a fat lip.
All right, they got O'Brien out of the stands, though a woman up there, I'm told, took off all her clothes.
I've been watching her.
O'Brien is back on the mound. A couple of warm-up pitches. Bases loaded. Top of the ninth. Nobody out. And the designated hitter for the Angels, Tim Kelly.
Wow. He's chomping on that bat like a beaver.
Kelly's ready. O'Brien kicks. And fires. And oh, boy!
Wow!
Back to the mound. O'Brien knocks it down. No, he caught it. And he fires the third. Gooch turns and fires the first. And Tobin makes the tag. A triple play.
Do
you believe that,
Frank? Boy, my credulity is blowing Larry Chubb.
Listen to that.
Got ovation. Oh, love divine. All of excelling joy to heaven, earth. Come down. Oh, where's the super juice?
Boots, you got the thumb. You're thrown out of the game.
So take over, Lefty.
Well, I'm not thrown out. I'm just out.
Keep that little wop away from me.
Hey, Boots, don't start again.
They're all fine. Everybody's fine.
Chance, you talk to him.
That was a nice play, O'Brien.
I can't talk to none of you. I took that in the arm. I can't pitch anymore today.
I don't care.
You do.
So I care. Just don't get me.
Hey, they're pointing a camera in here. Boots, you're supposed to be out of the game and out of the dugout right now.
I don't care. You're fine, too.
Me? Huh?
I'm going to take a shower and have a drink.
Hey, Willie, I was right to tell you to bunt back then.
And I was right to swing away. I saved your keister, old man. And this game is mine, too, not just yours, so don't be selfish. I want to be somebody's hero, too.
Where the hell do you think you're going to, Angelina?
To bat, Lefty?
I'm the manager now, temporarily. Did you ask me to you bat?
I've got to do it.
Oh, boy, you know how many miles of ace bandages and bottles of liniment and whirlpools and tubs of ice and cortisone shots I've seen in my 40 years? You guys kill yourself. I don't get it.
I got to bat.
Now, listen to me. I'm the manager now. You bat. I'll fix up the damage after. Like usual.
This is Dick
Dorman again in the stands with Bensie Chance O'Brien. Oh, as we watch little Willie DeAngelina take some warm-up swings. Two down, bottom of the ninth, you must think, Mrs. Chance. That was some kind of Donnybrook, the top of this inning.
Dick,
yeah.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Do I look like a fool?
I beg your pardon.
Do I look like a dimwit?
No, fans, I have to tell you, Nancy O'Brien looks to me like some kind of very classy lady and very smart.
Then please stop treating me like a fool. I'm trying to win the game.
Right you are, if you say so. Back to you, Larry and Frank.
Thank you, Dick.
Even the wives on this club peel bananas in dark closets. Wow, Nancy.
And we, Willie D'Angelina, stands in. Two down. We're all tied up here at the Temple Oval. Bottom of the ninth.
I can see from here it's got to be Wee Willie Winky with one eye plastered shut.
He takes a call, strike one. You know, I don't think he saw that ball. I can't figure why Boots Mertens would let him bat.
Oh, right, Larry. It's an imponderable. Right. And we should tell the fans at home right now that we've taken all our clothes off here in the booth. Except for your jockey shirts, Larry. And Melody's jersey.
Hi, Melody.
All right, a call, strike two.
Get that jersey off.
He's just not seeing those pitches.
And we pretty much down a half gallon of vodka.
But I gotta say, this was blowing outside. That was a close call.
One and two, the count on D'Angelina. With two away in a tie game.
It seems like all we care about is the game. My palms are moist, too. What do you say?
Ricker goes into his wine. He kicks. Get a lever. Oh! That's going! That's going! That's going!
That's going!
Oh!
I think he broke a windshield in the parking lot.
The fans are going crazy. Oh. At the Temple, on two homers by Willie D'Angelina. Take the American League win. And let's hope this will cheer Willie's aging and ill father as he watches in a Queens hospital as his son becomes almost certainly the American League Rookie of the Year. Right, Parnell?
Yes! Yes, Larry Tom, yes.
Look at Melody.
I'll tell you what we've done. Hey, would you not pour champagne in my underwear? I only brought one clean pair today.
You only own one clean pair.
And some bozo put some foul-smelling substance in the pocket of my sports jacket.
Oh, no, boss. Who would do that, huh?
Which I take to be a team locker room joke. Which is only funny to me because we won tonight.
Yeah, you didn't expect us to win tonight, huh, boss?
Hell no. What a bunch of bums.
Champions!
Yeah! My champions!
Yeah!
And I'm sorry if I done wrong, like trying to pull O'Brien. He's got a $500 fine waiting for him.
Thanks, Boots.
And I'm truly sorry, Willie, I roughed you up. Because you blasted the blast that one of
you!
Hey, hey. You didn't rough me up, boss. You blinded me in one eye.
I know. I'm sorry. And we'll put a good face on it when we let the press guys in here. Because we've got to draw close.
Yeah, right.
You hurt your eye in the shower. Right, Willie? Right.
Yeah, right, boss.
Right, Willie. Uh-huh. Anyway, there was this sergeant who was told that one of his boot cream marine recruits had just lost his father. Right, Willie? So, he goes to the boot cream recruit and says, cold-blooded, your father just died. And the kid goes nuts. He's good for nothing. So, the lieutenant says to the sergeant, there's a better way to break bad news from home, and you better find a better way, or you'll be pushing mustard through your straw as well.
That's pretty
so,
good.
Next day, this sergeant, he gets a message that Private Keogh's father had passed on, and he thinks, I gotta be subtle. So he calls a parade drill and says, you men, he says, oh, you men, you fantabulous Marines, you creatures I love and cherish in my heart of hearts, up to a point. You genius wise men of possible murder and of being cowards and also being heroic in some way, he said. Well, actually, and jump, he said. Okay, men, he said. Any of you with a father, take one step forward. Not so fast, Keel.
That's it, huh?
So, I can say I'm proud of you, genius bums. You don't get my undying admiration, so who cares? But everybody on this team with a father, take one step forward. And I'd stay put if I was you, D'Angelina.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's bad news. And I never know how to do that. Willie, take my condolences and ask your friend Chance O'Brien what he put in the last three innings. Of course, he had nothing.
So that's how it is. My dad is dead.
Your Homer killed him, kid.
Yeah?
No, I can say about the last three innings.
Shut up, Chance, once in your stinking baseball life.
I have this pitch I throw, maybe once every 5 years, because it's an expensive pitch, and that's been since I was 15 and knew I had the pitch. It's not like an ordinary pitch. It doesn't fit a category, but it takes everything I have to get it right. It's not fast, it's not slow. It works up, comes one way, drops another, then comes up suddenly, and you swing at it. I guarantee you the ball goes right back to the pitcher. I threw that one in the ninth. And when I threw it, I heard the noise in the shoulder. But damn, if he didn't hit into a triple play. Now, I know how to do something nobody else in the world knows how to do, and I do it well. And now, I can't anymore. I'm sorry about your old man, Willie.
Me too. Hey, yeah, Willie. I'm really sorry about you.
Well, all this is very edifying, presumably, but we have to think of the series. The Dodgers. O'Brien got wealthy playing baseball, I know for a fact, but the rest of you guys, you gotta make a living. And
hey,
I want...
Why, don't you think you ought to leave it for now?
You're right, Lefty. I'm gonna let the press in. So, take off your uniforms and be nice.
And so we come to the end of our post-game show, and we want to thank the manager of the Tempos, the colorful, embattled, and almost always controversial, ever-loving Robert Allen, Boots Merton.
Mary Chubb, I think that's the ever-loved Ronald Boots Merton.
Yeah, of course, my mistake, the ever-loaded Frank Barnett.
Oh, really?
And Ronald Boots Mertens, when you look back on a season, no one said you could win. No one expected you could win. And forward to a World Series, no one expects you even to survive.
You're going down the toilet in the series, Boots.
Well, what are your thoughts tonight, Boots, on that?
You know, Larry, Frank, you could put a little vodka in my coffee. I guess I should say that's just a joke, huh?
Right, Coach.
But I don't know squat about baseball. I make my guesses. I'm even surprised you want to know what I think, since I don't think more than a clam does or a cockroach. But I tell you, fellas, and Frank, you could just put a little more vodka there. I guess I should say that's another joke, huh? Anyway, when you watch a baseball game on television, you just get a picture. And when you sit in the stadium, you get the whole picture. The color of the grass, the flags being lofted as they stay in the breeze, the kids in their suits. And you know what? It matters to them. And you know what? Really what? I don't know why. I gotta ask myself. This old man spoiled his arm today. O'Brien? Pitching great. And I killed my best batsman ever had to work with. And I have to ask. Maybe I'm a little too sheets toward the strikeout here. What difference does it make? Huh? You interviewers are suddenly calm here. What is baseball? A hemisphere. Like Willie says.
So that's the wrap-up. For Frank Parnell, Dick Gorman, and myself, Larry Chubb, have a good day.
And be real good to your flesh.
Yeah, Mom, little Willie is coming home. I can't play baseball anymore this season. My dumb duck manager blacked my eye tonight. Yeah, you saw. Yeah, who?
The old pop man, Chance.
Hold on, I'm on the phone. Hey, Mama, no, listen, would you? No vast sums of money for a casket and all that stuff. Can't we just bury Daddy and do some service? No, I understand, so the neighbors won't understand, so? Okay, but today I was a baseball player of the major league variety, and it'll take me 10 minutes to understand that. Hey, you know I love Daddy. Yeah. All right, you too. Yeah, love and kisses to you and Rita and Tommy. I'm catching the next plane. All right. Goodbye. Yeah, come in.
Hi. Can I stay for a second?
Sure. Hey, you got a real mouse there, hero man.
Yeah, should I order up some beefsteak to put on it? I hope the eye gets better for the series. Lefty told me he's seen worse. So, how are you?
I don't know. Baseball's baseball, and real living's different. And I think, I'm not kidding you, my arm died tonight. So I got to stop, get to be an ordinary person, grow old, die, stuff I was raised to do.
Okay. I'm going to play baseball for 10 or 12 more seasons. And then I'm going to be a lawyer.
Sounds good. You got the education for it.
And along the way, I'm going to break a lot of records and win a lot of recognition. And make a dump truck full of money.
Yeah, well, I can understand. That sounds great.
Worse than that, I'm going to get as many prizes as you did.
I just said I think that's great. I'm listening to you. I mean, I think it'd be better for us to be friends, for you to say to me, gosh, that was a good game you pitched there, Chance.
Oh, why do I have to tell you that? You know it was a great game. That was the best pitch game I ever saw in my life, okay?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I have to get home.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to sit down here for a second, okay? I'm tired.
Okay. Yeah. I got to tell you, Chance, I'm sad my daddy is dead. I mean, we all knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. He never played baseball. But he loved the game. And he loved it the way I can't. He didn't care that it had changed. Guys get paid too much, you know, like movie stars and players, they fight with the owners. Baseball, for him, was that he was always 12 years old and sitting in Ebbets Field. I don't know. Hold me, Chance. See, I was going to ask him before he died, was it all right for me to play the game he liked so much and be so in love with someone like you? I was going to tell him all about you. I was going to take you for an introduction.
Yeah. You would have been happy, I guess, to meet me, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm what passes for a star.
Oh, well, you. Ugh, you were an idol to him.
Hey, I got you, Slugger. I'm holding on to you. And I gotta tell you, you are a little man, you know? You're small for a man in size. I don't know how in the living Christmas somebody this small can plant the poppy over the fence as often as you do.
Well, because I work at it. All right? Very hard.
Well, yeah, you take more batting practice. I remember the half the team.
We can't be in love the way we are, right?
I don't see how. It's pretty hard to explain.
Well, who'd want to be like that anyway?
Yeah, not me, brother.
Me neither. Pretty hard to explain.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, yeah, I could never tell anybody. I think the game is one thing, and how we live is another. But, you know, I could stand you. I mean, I could, even if I have met your daddy. Except, you're so damn good, Hot Dog. You know, you're the best shortstop in baseball.
Every pitcher I ever loved had brains like a fried banana. That much is true.
How many pitchers you ever love, Hot Dog?
Just one. And his arm died tonight.
Hey, look. On the TV.
Oh, geez.
What a cut.
Sucker pitch. Ah, that is some pitch.
And Angelina, again at the plate, injured, took this 1-2 Richter fastball.
Oh, and there
it goes.
Well, I gotta go. Boy, I really love this on the TV.
So, what do we do?
Oh, it's gonna be tough. Well, we'll work something, huh? Hey, I'm gonna come to your daddy's funeral.
Okay, my mama like that.
Angelina? O'Brien! I know. I've been checking.
Well, now my arm's dead. I'm going to understand stuff, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Yous are all flying next year's salary twice over. Okay? Okay?
Hot Dogs and Soda Pop by Thomas Babe. Robert Christian played Franklin. Jeffrey DeMann was Willie. Vincent Gardenia played Boots. Joe Gravazzi was Frank. Mike Kellen was Lefty. John Lithgow was Larry. James Naughton was Chance. Meryl Streep played Nancy, and Michael Tucker was heard as Dick. The play was directed by Jack Hofsis, produced by Howard Gelman, with post-production and mixing by Tom Vagley.